So good to see everyone in the house. Just sit. We're not going to read it. Just hold the scripture and then we read together. We open this up on, I want to continue from where we started on Sunday. And I was speaking to you about how to posture yourself for uncommon miracles. And we got to a point where we saw Paul got saved. And after Paul got saved, he then spent some time with some people. Amen? Anybody remember that? He spent some time with Ananias. And the Bible said he spent some days with them. He didn't just get saved and then went on his merry life. He stayed and he was taught the ways of God. Amen? He was taught the ways of the Lord. And he wasn't just taught the ways of the Lord by anyone. Now, focus in, lock in, lock in. You're not going to hear it back. Lock in. Amen? Get your Bibles, get your books, get ready to write. He wasn't just taught the ways of God by any Tom, Dick, or Harry. He was taught by seasoned men. He was taught by who? Seasoned men. Men that were mature, people who were disciples of the faith, disciples of Jesus Christ. Tonight I want to talk to you about the blessing of proximity. The blessing of proximity. And we're going to look at one person in particular in the life of Paul, and we're going to check out the man by the name of Barnabas. Now we know Ananias was a man that was full of the Holy Ghost, a man that heard the voice of God. The Lord spoke to him, gave him clear directions where Paul was. Remember that? Right, let's go back over. We can read it together. Hallelujah. Amen. Ooh, praise the Lord. We're going to go to Acts chapter 9. And you could stay seated and we're going to read together because I want us to go through this passage together, so we get a platform, and then we continue. Amen? All right. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus. Now there wasn't a certain man, but who was he? He was a disciplined follower of Jesus. The word disciple comes from the word discipline. Are you with me? Pastor Dahl said that she is home this week, and she has disciplined herself to read the word. And as she has disciplined herself, God has responded to her. Amen? Amen? God has what? Responded to her. Now, we just had, anybody who's here on Sunday? Yes. Did you hear what the young people said happened last week? Yes. Yeah? Anybody, if you heard, can you give me a nice amen? Amen. God, did it sound good? Yes. You know how that happened? Let me tell you what we did. Everyone that came to the boot camp last week, we took away their phones. We took their phones away. One young lady came, and she was so mad at me. She couldn't enter in because she wouldn't give up her phone. She had to end up sitting in the back by herself, right? But if we're going to go somewhere, tell somebody I got to become disciplined. The Bible said to follow Christ as a soldier. You ever seen a lackadaisical ambassador? No. We are ambassadors of Christ. We have to learn how to represent Christ so that when we go, he can trust us. Are you with me? Amen. Can somebody say, I will be a disciplined disciple. Now, you pretty much said discipline when you said disciple, but it's like we take the word disciple and it just becomes, oh, the disciples of Jesus. No, these men slept with Jesus. These men lived with Jesus. When Andrew saw Jesus, he asked, Lord, where are you staying? He said, come and see what he did. He followed Jesus. And the Bible said he went and remained with Jesus. You understand that? He what? He what? Did I speak too fast? He what? He remained. Say remain. He remained with Jesus. He stayed with Jesus. He had an encounter with Jesus. We have to stick around so that we can have an encounter. I say we have to stick around so that we can have an encounter with the Lord. Amen? So, somebody said discipline. Good. So, this was a discipline, man. So, what we did, we took away all the phones. We had no screens. You see how you have these screens? We had no screens. So, we're going to practice that tonight. Now, if you have your Bibles, God bless you. If you don't have your Bible, go to next to someone who has a Bible. This is old school church. This is old school church. Because there comes a day where the screens might fail. Are you with me? Are you with me? This is how we're going to remember the word. This is how you're going to memorize the word. Because you're going to see the image of the word in your Bible. And you're going to know where to go and find it. You may not remember the text, but you know what area in your Bible to look. Anybody know to find the scriptures like that? You say, hold on, let me find it. You don't know where it is, but you have an idea of its location. So we're going to learn geography. Amen? Amen? So if you don't have a Bible, just go next to someone. And this is how we're going to learn to fellowship with each other. And the Bible says, if we have fellowship with the saints, we have fellowship with Christ. Amen. This is where you got to make sure you wear deodorant. You got to make sure you spray some cologne. Because somebody might be coming to sit next to you. Oh, glory be to God. All right, are we all next to the Bible? Yes. Can we do it now? Can we do this? Yes. Can we do this? Everybody's looking in the Bible. Yes. Is that a yes or that's a ness? Yes. I see some people looking at me. That means they're not looking in the Bible. All right, beautiful. I see folks are moving. All right, let's go. And it says, now there was a certain disciple. Who was there? Name Ananias. And to him, the Lord said in a vision. Ananias. Ooh, wow. Imagine the Lord called his name. How beautiful that is. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight and inquire. And what? At the house of Judas for one called Saul. You have your Bible? Go next to someone that have their Bibles. We're doing the same exercise that we did last week. Amen. Praise God. Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is what? Praying in a vision. He has seen. Well, who he saw? Now, Saul was blind, but yet he had sight. Are you with me? He was physically blind because the Bible says after the encounter, he then looked for someone to lead him to this place that he's currently seeing. But somebody say, you don't need vision to have sight. Are you with me? You don't need physical vision. Fanny Crosby, who wrote some of the most beautiful hymns that we sing today, she was a blind woman from upstate New York. And they asked Fanny, they said, Fanny, if you should live again, would you want to see or would you like to have your eyes blind as they are? She said, when I'm blind, I see even brighter. Amen. Are you with me? So even though she couldn't see physically, she had spiritual sight. Because Fanny used to see. She knew what it meant to see. So it would not have been a surprise for her to see. But she lost her sight. Somebody gave her, some quack doctor was in the neighborhood, and he told her family to put some poultice on her eye, and that's how she lost her vision. Right? But Fanny understood something deeper. So here, Paul is having the same encounter. So, you know, sometimes we think these things are special, but it's in the Word of God. Are you with me? Every answer that you're looking for tonight is in here. Every answer that you're looking for, the world got questions, the book got answers. Hello, I said the world got questions, the book has the what? The answers. Amen. No idling in the booth. Everyone should be looking in the Bible. Discipline. And in a vision, he seen a man in Ananias coming and what? Putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and there he has authority, I'm sorry, here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, what? Go, for he is what kind of vessel? What kind of vessel? What kind of vessel? He is a chosen vessel. I want to tell you, the way you are and the way you look right now, you're not going to look like this in the future. Sometimes people look at you from the outside and they don't understand what is on the inside. I'll say that again. Man looks at the outside, God sees your heart. I say, man looks at the outside, God sees your what? Heart. And God sees your purpose. So tonight, I want to tell you, look beyond the veil. Look beyond the veil. Look beyond what you see. You know yourself a certain way. But hear the word of God says to us in the book of Corinthians, from now on, we know no man after the flesh. For if any man be in Christ, he becomes a what? New creation. What's his past? Old. Here, and God was trying to get to Ananias. Ananias, the old has passed. And there is something that is about to come forth. Amen? And as he said, Lord, I know this man was a bad man. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and what? The children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must what? Suffer for my name's sake. And you see, you don't have to worry about that part. God will deal with that part. Amen? Amen? We just got to come to a place to know what God is telling us to do. We don't have to worry how people will change. It is God that does the changing. It is him that wills and works in us. Are you with me? It is him to will and it's him to work. We just got to be obedient. Ananias went. What he did? He what? He went his way and entered the house and what? Laying his hand on the same man he didn't want to lay his hand on. On the same man he did not want to what? Lay his hand on. He was obedient. He went and he did what he was instructed to do. Laying his hands on him, he said, brother Saul. Now he didn't call him Saul. He said, we address him. Why? Because the Lord had already done the work in his heart. The Lord had already communicated and downloaded into his spirit who this man was. This man was not the treacherous Saul. This is brother Saul. Are you with me? This is who? Who is this? Come on, who is this? Who is this? Listen, you go to do something wrong on the street and somebody says, Sister Carmen, is that you? It's how quick you adjust your ways. Sister Stacy, is that you? You're cussing bad word, and when they say, sister, is that you? Hallelujah, God bless you. Are you with me? So there is power in addressing each other from a spirit side. Now, a lot of people want to take away brother and sister. Brother and sister has a connotation that you belong to a kingdom. It's heavy, it's not light. It's a heavy title. When you are addressed as brother or sister, it's not my biological brother, but it's my sister in the kingdom, my brother in the kingdom. It speaks of your position. So when he said, brother Saul, he said, you have transitioned from the kingdom of darkness and you have met the light himself. He hit you off of your horse on the way here. And you encountered him. Now you are who? Brother. Amen? So brother speaks of your position. The Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may what? Receive what? His sight at? No, sorry. Your sight. And be filled with what? Be filled with who? Be filled with who? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what differentiates us from the world. This is what differentiates the born-again believer. The fact that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Every other person got knowledge. But you have who? God in you. Are you with me? You have God in you. That you might be filled with the Holy Spirit. 18. Immediately, there fell from his eyes something like what? Scales. And he received his sight at once. And he arose and was what? Baptized. So, we see some things happen here. I said this on Sunday, but I just want to go it over. When Saul got saved, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? The moment you and I receive Jesus, we become what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Or the Spirit indwells us. Now, what Saul received here was something different. He received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He received what? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's as if he became immersed in the Spirit. But not because he became immersed, he did not get physically baptized. There are systems in this body. There are systems. This body is not anyhow. This is an orderly body. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. This church is a part of the kingdom of God. You with me? We're just one local church. My brother, did you come from another church? You don't go to a church. Yeah, what church do you go to? First Assembly. Good. This man is from First Assembly in Georgetown, Guyana. Is that right? Yes. Is that right? That's Durban Street, Georgetown, Guyana. He is part of what? The body of Christ. A part of another local house, the local church. But even though he's a part of that church, he can come here when he's on vacation and have what? Fellowship with us. Because who we're having fellowship? The same Jesus. Who's, which Holy Spirit is him? In him. The same Holy Spirit in you. So that's what I say now. The kingdom of God is an orderly kingdom. Now when you go on vacation, you can't go on vacation for a whole month and not go to a church. We got to scan you. Some of you are like, hallelujah. I don't have to go to church. It's Sunday. It feels so good to be on my bed. I pray deliverance from that nasty spirit. We got to love the fellowship of the saints. Iron sharpens. Maybe you're not iron. That's why you don't like to go to church. So, he got baptized with the Holy Ghost, but yet, he needed to be what? Baptized with water. Because what? Nobody is exempt from the system. Are you with me? Nobody is exempt. If Jesus had to get baptized, who is you? Who is Paul? It is a principle, not a what? Option. So we need to come out where we leave it if you want to get baptized. The next thing once you get saved is to what? Amen. So we have that. The next thing is to what? Baptized. Once you're saved, you what? A lot of people wait when they think they're perfect. You know what you're robbing yourself of? The blessing that is in baptism. You think God is just wanting you to dip in water? He would not let us do it. Everything in the kingdom of God has great significance. Yeah. I'll say it again. Everything that we practice in the kingdom that is biblical has heavenly graces that flow with it. Enablement comes when you go into the water. Something, the Bible said, the old man is buried. You come up a new man. You think that's just ordinary? You trying to fight the old man. I can't. When I get rid of this, I'm going to get baptized. When I get rid of that, it's old man fighting old man. You're not fighting from the understanding of God being your help. You're fighting from yourself being your own help. Are you walking with me? This is why we come to Bible study. Amen? So, after this now, we see Paul. We see Paul continues. He didn't leave right away. 19. So when he had received what? Food. Somebody say food. Because the man was fasting for 3 days. Who knows after a fast you got to eat? You can't fast all the time. It comes, there's a time to fast and there's a time to eat. Some of us have been eating too much. But there's a time to fast and a time to eat. He was what? Strengthened. After Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, what did the devil tempt him with first? Food. Because he knew that he what? Needed food. Amen? Then Saul spent, somebody say some days. He spent some days with the disciples where? In Damascus. When you get saved, it is time to find some disciples of Jesus and hang around them. If you want to grow, now, if you don't want to grow, hang out by yourself. If you don't want to grow or you don't want to scale, which should not be any of our desires. You see, the problem is, if you're on a basketball team, the only way you're going to get better is if you go around better competition. If you keep playing the weaklings on the team and you celebrate, oh, I dunked on him. Oh, I scored a 30 on him. Who you scored on? A 6-year-old. Oh, I scored 30 points last night. Who you played? The first grade team. But if you get around mature players, it will then bring out the best in you. Are you with me? If you see, I don't know if you heard about this, but opening night for the New York Knicks will be on October 20th. And they're going to be playing a man by the name of LeBron James. Right? They're going to be playing one named LeBron James. All of a sudden, forget the tickets. The thought alone, even me, I'm here and I'm like, oh, shucks, they might lose. Even though they just won the championship. But because the name LeBron James in the basketball world carries weight. I seen him beat the Pistons all by himself. Took over a game and scored like 20-something points in the fourth quarter. Because that's the caliber of player he is. You can't tell me you play with that man and you're still playing like you're beating the first grade team. No, he's going to bring what? The best out of you. When he won the championship in Cleveland, was a bunch of what they were called scrubs. Who remember, what's his name? J.R. Smith dribbling the ball to the wrong side. Anybody remember that? I love you guys. You guys are so saved. God bless you. This church is real disciples. Yes, but what he did, those who hung out with him, they were able to play at another level. And they even got a ring. I want to tell you, when Paul got saved, he hung out with the big boys. I say he hung out with the big boys in Damascus. And they taught him some things. And they laid hands on him. And they encouraged him. And they draw him up. And they said, listen, you used to be a Pharisee. Don't bring none of that pharisaical stuff here now. That self-righteousness and those washing of hands and wearing the long gong and wanting to be seen in the marketplace. They said, that don't work no more in this kingdom. It does not work here. Now, if he hung around with a bunch of immature Christians, they would say, you know what, maybe we could involve some of that. We could include some of it because it seems very pious. And circumcision sounds really good because, you know, you're cutting away the flesh. And you know, man looks at the outside. And when they find out that you are circumcised, they're going to say you're a holy man. But that's where the Judaizers came about. Because they weren't hanging around seasoned men. They weren't hanging around men that knew the word. They weren't hanging around men that knew what it is to follow Jesus. Men that experienced the Lord. Let me show you. Let's go and look at some of the blessings of proximity. Let's go to the book of John now. And we're going to read over there. Hallelujah. First John. We're going to get to Barnabas if we do. But let me show you the blessing of proximity. First John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Are you getting something tonight? Are you getting something tonight? That which was from the beginning. That which was from what? Beginning. Are you there? Chapter 1?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought the screen was helping you guys. There's no screen, Pastor Cher. You got to sit next to somebody who have a Bible. This is an old school church tonight. What kind of church is this? This is an old school church with a whole lot of screens. Right, let's read. Let's read together. Come on. This is how we used to do it. 1, 2, 3. Okay. That which was from the beginning. When Paul opens his writings, he mentions Christ, that Christ did not just show up. John, sorry, thank you. When John, thank you, Pastor Cher. When John opens his writings, he did this in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the what? Word. Right? So he let us know that he's not writing about a man. He's not writing about a man, but he's writing about the God-man. Are you with me? Are you with me? So he makes this, he uses this terminology and says, that which was from the beginning. Because in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt where? Amongst us. And we beheld what? His glory. Now, here he continues it. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have what? Heard. Now, which we have what? Heard. Paul, John is not writing about somebody he heard about. He's writing of the one who he what? Heard for himself. This is the blessing of proximity. Now, he said, not only the one we heard, we saw him with our eyes. John says, I'm not writing to you about somebody that somebody saw. I'm writing to you about who I saw. You with me? Who we have seen with our eyes. And he's not just talking about himself. He's saying, not only me saw him, but I was one of them that saw him. Amen? I was one of them that saw him when he, in his ministry. I saw him on the cross. I saw that they put him in the tomb. And I also saw him when he resurrected. Are you with me? Now, does that make a whole lot more difference to you? John is not saying I only saw him when he did his ministry. I saw him after the fact that they said he died. And I saw him after he what? Rose again. Which we have seen with our eyes. Which we have what? Looked upon. And our what? Hands had handled. Can I make this easy to you? They all could have believed in the Jesus prior to his death. But John was saying, the one I'm writing to you, I held him after he rose from the dead. I saw him in his what? Resurrected body. Remember when Thomas said, Lord, unless I don't what? Feel you. So John said, we didn't only see, we didn't only hear, we touch. And you know how we know these guys touch? And how we know that they saw, and how we know that they heard, they all were killed for it. You're not going to die for any or anything. Are you with me? You're not going to put your life on the line for what you have not experienced. But because they have experienced this Jesus, and they saw him after he rose again, they were willing to die for it. What? James was what? Beheaded. The brother of John, who is writing here, he was beheaded. We know Peter was crucified. And it's written that he was crucified what? Upside down. Why? Because he encountered Christ. So now they can write to us with such conviction, and they can write to us with such anointing, and they can receive such revelation from the Holy Spirit to pen these words, and these words get life. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. They were inspired by God, backed up with their experience, and now they wrote it, and it became scriptures. Amen? Why? Because they were right there with the Lord. It is, let's put it in a similar sense. It's not exactly the same. But when Paul got saved, he stayed around men and women that could have helped him. That could have helped him grow in his faith. I want to ask the question, who are you spending most of your time with? What kind of believers? No, not all believers are good for you. But maybe all believers in Faith Church is good for you. But there's some believers outside that are not good for you. You know why? You know how I can tell you that? The Bible says, not all those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. And some of them that's working great signs and miracles, you probably need to be afraid of those more than anything. Because those are the ones that often pull people into sex. S-E-C-T-S. Right? All of your dirty minds are looking, okay, Pastor. That's what they're doing. I didn't know. Where they at? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. All right, you got that one later. Praise the Lord. Right? Yeah. They pull you into sections. Oh, come follow me. Oh, I have this prayer at my house. Come to this prayer. Oh, I have this prayer. We're meeting here for prayer. Come. They know you have your church. And they know you belong to a local body, but yet they're dragging you. And they put, come man, come. You're going to receive something. How many people that follow those kind of people eventually end up outside the church? They become scattered. They have itching ears. Itching ears. They don't want to sit and study things like this that say you have to become disciplined. You have to get up every morning, read the word, pray, get on your knees, get quiet time with the Lord, spend time in worship. There are no other things you can do but the basics. After you've done the basics, then you can get what is then secondary, tertiary, then you can do masters. But first, you got to master the basics. Too many of us, we want the big things. Oh, I want to be like Ananias. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. Oh, Pastor, teach me how to hear the voice of the Lord. You know where Samuel was? He was in the temple. And he heard the voice. You got to position yourself. You got to be where God is. You got to be where God's people is. Hannah did not take Samuel and take him to John Blue. No, she took him and left him with Eli. A trusted man of God. A man that had a track record in Israel. A man that when she was in need, came and laid his hand on her and said, woman, why are you crying? And he said, next time this year, you're going to have a man child. What did she do? She brought him right back to here. The indisciplined side of us, we come to the house of God, we get all our breakthroughs, and then we still look for another church. We still look for another house. We still look for another prophet. Am I talking to somebody now? Oh, this is my prophet. Hold on, pastor. Let me call my prophet. Did you hear what I said? Oh, pastor, I spoke with this prophet last night, and the prophet said that when you are left high and dry, you must call that prophet. After he takes all your money and goes on a plane or escapes, goes somewhere else to go flee some other people. I'm talking some real stuff to us tonight so that we can mature. Are you with me? Yeah. Oh, pastor, where are you going with this? No, I want to show you how the kind of people you should follow. If somebody doesn't say to you, be imitators of Christ, you don't want to follow that person. Are you with me? So, we see John says, we have touched him, we have experienced him, we have felt him, we have heard him for ourselves. Concerning the word of life, the life was manifested. The life was what? The life was demonstrated in front of us. We were with the Lord. His power was what? Demonstrated. We saw him at work. Now, I want to ask this question. Did you see Jesus at work? We all have to see Jesus at work. Yeah. Have you seen him in your neighbor's life? Do you remember? Some of us, you knew people and they got saved. Do you remember what this person was like 5 years ago? When I look at them now, totally different. You know who I'm seeing in them? Jesus. Who did the work? Who is manifesting? Jesus. Who is bringing the change? Jesus. Amen. It's Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Some people, I couldn't talk to them. They're ready to fight me. But who did it? Jesus. If you have faith and you say it to this mountain, be thou removed, it shall what? No, if you don't doubt, you see some people have mountains in your life. You expose yourself, not me. But what is that? Jesus being manifested. Come on, say, Jesus, be manifested in me. Be manifested in me. Be manifested in us. Say, Lord, be manifested in this house. Rabakasiko robo shata dabasanda dabasaya. Hado buroke skataya. And we have seen him and we bear witness and declare to you what? That eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. So who was Jesus? Eternal life. Eternal life was manifested. He walked among us. Hallelujah. That which we have seen and heard, we what? We declare to you. They didn't go with their own word. Now, if you hang around spiritually indisciplined people, they might come to you with their own word. They might come to you with their own doctrine. They might come to you with their own twists. Are you with me? They use it, they twist it so that you can what? Walk behind them. And you can become what? Subject to them. But we want one person manifested, and who is he? Come on, we want one person manifested, and who is he? Hallelujah. And who do we declare? Jesus. And look here now, I like this. That you also may have what? Fellowship with who? With us. You might have fellowship with us. So John is coming to them. John was a disciple that was with Jesus. He's writing, I believe, here to the church in Ephesus. Many years after Jesus had ascended to heaven. And he said here, I want you. I have fellowship with him. I am fellowshipping with him. But I also want you to fellowship with me with him. I'll do it again. He said, I have fellowshiped with him when he was here. I am fellowshipping with him because he's in me. And what I want is for you to have fellowship with me. With him. Are you with me? So now he's saying to them, church in Ephesus, you're not a second class. You are not second class believers. Even though you didn't walk with Jesus physically. Oh, glory, we're going somewhere. Watch his sketches. Even though you did not walk the streets of Galilee with him. But the fellowship that we are having right now is the same fellowship you would have had with him. So I'm talking to you now at Faith Church. The same fellowship that John had is the same fellowship that we are having with Jesus. He's the same yesterday, same today, and same forever. Christ in me. What? Christ where? Christ where? 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 Christ in me, in you. The hope of glory. Give the Lord a clap offering. And he crowns it off and he says, truly, watch this now, and truly, for sure, most definitely, our fellowship is with who? The Father. And with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, because of his experience and his encounter, his closeness to Jesus, now, John brands himself the disciple whom Jesus what? Loved. The one that put his head on the chest or the breast of the Lord. The Bible says he's the strong and breasted one. We have to learn to go and recline on the Lord. Recline on him in your times of prayer. Recline. Lay back on him. Lay back. You know, like you have your wife, you want to lay back. Right? You want to put your head on her breast because it feels nice and comforting. Are you with me? Yes. Amen. Say amen, man. Amen. Or you have your husband. Right. Say, come here, boy. Oh, let me feel those big man tits of yours. No, I'm just kidding. Most of we don't got no chest, okay? We got some flesh. Right? No, the chest there under the flesh. Pray that the chest comes out. It's the same thing, you know, we have abs, but it's covered. It's in the Holy of Holies. It's in the inner man. Hallelujah. Yes. That's how we must learn to recline on the Lord. Because he has nourishment for us. He has what? Nourishment. Nourishment. When we lay on him, it's as a child nursing. He's a strong and breasted one. We can draw from him. Are you with me? We can what? Draw from him. He has nourishment for every one of us. So your fellowship is not just coming together, but in fellowship, things are released. Amen? Think of it. You meet up with a sister and she gives you a good word and the word encourages you. What is that? Something is released. A brother releases a word, one scripture. It lights up your spirit. Who is he, that brother, having fellowship with? The Lord. Who is? And then he come, he have fellowship with you. You and him now have fellowship with who? The Lord. So, season people's stuff now. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible said they continued daily. Somebody say daily. Let's go to Acts 2. Hallelujah. We're going to get this thing tonight and it's not going to leave us. It's not going to leave us. Hallelujah. It's not going to leave us. Can somebody say amen? And we're going to read from 40. Now, I shared this with the leaders a couple months back, or maybe a month ago, the Lord released this word. And it says, with many other words. How many words? I want to tell you, you know, sometimes your parents sit you down and they say, we need to have a talk. Anybody ever had a talk with their parents? Your mom or your dad? Some of us, our parents didn't talk. They had a weapon they used to talk with. Weapons of mass destruction. No, mass correction. I'm sorry. Mass what? Correction. The Bible says break the rod and train the child, right? That's just to help the parents. Because the kids just got all strong. But he says, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them. Now, let's stop there. When you get initially saved, it's a simple prayer they lead you in. But do you know, after that, many words follow. I'll say it again. When you get saved, it is just a simple prayer of confessing Jesus and you declaring that you're a sinner, you need salvation. Boom, you're born into the kingdom. But after that, many words are required. Who knows, raising a child takes a lot of talking. Oh my God. We're trying to raise David. And last night, right? We're bringing up a fridge from the basement. And I'm on the bottom like a horse. And Pastor Cher and Tio's on the top and they don't know what they're doing. They're not movers. That's my job. I know to move things. So I'm trying to tell them what to do. But way beyond yonder is somebody crying, Mommy! Mommy! Ah! Ah! Ah, Mommy! Mommy! Did he laugh? Come here, David. That's you. Yes, right? That's him. Look at him. Mommy! Mommy! Yes! This is Mommy. You see, he knows himself, so I'm not telling no lie. All right, thank you for helping Daddy preach. God bless you. Go now. Bye. So, I'm on the step bringing up the fridge, telling the two people who don't know what they're doing till we almost got to the top. And they go, oh, that's what you were trying to say? They said, it's not that bad. But whilst we're doing that, David is crying. And all we have to keep saying, well, for some reason, I'm like the bad guy. So when I said, David, he stopped for a couple minutes, a couple seconds. Look, you see, he's startling in the back. When he hears that, he calms him. Then he forgets about it 2 seconds later. He goes, Mommy, Mommy. I have to go, I'm not seeing him, you know. I'm behind the fridge. But what? When you first come, oh, nice little baby, David. Nice man, this baby's nice. Nice. Oh, thank God for you. You're an angel from heaven. Oh, you're so sweet. You're so cute. Oh, God. Oh, oh. But now, as he is maturing, somebody say many other words. Now take him outside. Take him outside. Before I have to use many other words. So to be birthed into the kingdom is how many words? Few words. But to grow in the kingdom and to mature in the kingdom is how much words? Many words. So when somebody call you and admonish you, it's many words. When somebody correct you, it's many words. When somebody rebuke you, many words. But we have to learn to have a soft heart to receive it. Are you with me? Even though I correct David that strong, you saw him run and come here just now? Are you with me? Why? The Bible says if you don't come as a child, you don't have no place in the kingdom. You have to come as a what? A child. Now, when Paul came into the kingdom, he was a pharisaical baby. Well, he actually lost being a Pharisee. He was now a newborn babe. And in the book of Peter, it says, as newborn babe, desire what? The sincere milk. That you might what? Grow thereby. Now, if we leave David and we do not correct him, he's going to come to church. He's going to dig everybody. He's going to slap everybody. When he grows older, he's going to be miserable. Now, as a baby, we tolerate a little pinch here and there. But, you know, he pinched less now than he used to pinch before. Right? He used to just look at you in the face and give you a dig like, Yeah, if I tell him something he don't like, he just look at me and go. Now he doesn't do that anymore. Because what? Many words. Are you with me? Many rebuke. Many correction. We need to understand what it takes to mature in the kingdom. It is not always butter. There's also the rod. Because who the Lord loves, he chastens. If I don't love you, I will come with cotton candy every week. And you all will have rotten teeth. Spiritual dentures. You cannot chew on the word. Paul said to the Corinthians, I could not speak to you as mature, but I had to speak to you as babes. You know why? They had dentures. They couldn't chew meat. Tell somebody, enough with the fluff. Tell them, cut the fluff and eat some meat. Let's read this. 1 Corinthians 3:1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to who? Oh my God, this is sad. I had to speak to you as carnal. That's a hard word. I had to speak to you as though you were babes, carnal, worldly. So now it's like he had to go back and preach the ABC and give you few words and get you saved. But he said, no, I had to speak to you as what? Babes in Christ. Tell somebody, enough with that. Say many words. And with many words, all right, we got 5 minutes. He testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. We're in Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Be saved from this what? Perverse generation. Now, what's the verbiage? Then those who what? Gladly. Are you with me? All right, find some of your Bible don't have Acts. Acts chapter 2, and some people are cheating, they have iPads. No calling names. The Lord sees those. Then those who what? Gladly. Can we say gladly? Gladly. Can I see some glad faces? Right? That's glad face. When they heard Peter spoke, there were some that didn't receive it gladly. Some are like. But then there were those that what? Gladly received it. Amen? Who gladly received this word. They were what? Baptized. Meaning I can't force you to be baptized. I can't force you to accept Jesus. Are you with me? It's either you know you're saved. Oh, you're not saved. Because we saw when Paul got saved, what happened? He got baptized, right? So now those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day were added how many? 3,000 souls were added to them. Now 42. And they continue. They what? Tell somebody continue. Continue. Tell somebody continue. Continue. How you continue matters. How you continue matters. How you continue will show on you. I'm talking to Bible study people tonight. Hello? We're not talking to the general congregation on a Sunday. I'm talking to those who really want the word. I'm talking about those who want the spirit of the word. Those who want to be transformed and those who want to be lifted. Are you with me? They want continued how? Consistent or steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. what they were being taught. They continued in what they were being taught. These men were taught by the Lord. Are you with me? They were taught by Jesus. They had firsthand deposit from Christ. So when they were telling them the epistles, not the epistles, the parables, we have it written down today. They didn't have it written down. But they were seeing what they remembered. Remember, what did John say? He was from the beginning. We saw him. We heard him. We touched him. Are you with me? They had Psalms. They had the Old Testament and all of that. But what they were teaching was the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the anointed one, the Savior of the world, the one that came, that man no longer shall die, but man shall live, because life has come forth from God. If an eternal life that was with the Father came forth. So that was the apostles' doctrine. And look what they continued in. Fellowship. I want to encourage somebody tonight. Continue in the word of God. Continue fellowshipping with one another. Stay in touch with the brethren. Because when we fellowship together, we're fellowshipping with him. Are you with me? And in breaking of bread. Meaning these people ate together. So eating is not, oh, I have food in my house. Oh, I don't know how she really cook, you know. I don't know if she's clean. I don't know if he's clean. Are you with me? We have to come to a place where we love each other. I'm not telling you to eat from people that you know is nasty now. Because they might just poison you. The Bible said, be wise as a serpent. I'm as a dove. And there's some people who don't know to cook. I tell them, don't cook again. Not you, Sister Pat. Sister Pat cook good curry goat. Are you with me? In the breaking of bread and what? In prayers. It should be a joy for us to pick up the phone and pray with somebody. It should be that delight when we meet each other on the street. Before you leave, you say a quick prayer. Prayer should be such a permanent thing. It should be a lifestyle for us. Are you with me? We have to continue in prayer. Prayer, 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 more prayer. Because the Bible says pray without ceasing. We went to Kwasi. When I was leaving Kwasi, my wife says to me, the kids want to go back and spend another hour. They never say that when it's time to pray. Nobody ever says, Pastor, can we pray another hour? Oh, Pastor, I always want to pray. Ah, oh, Saturday in the morning, we got to come to pray. Amen. It's good. Laugh it out. Don't let it burn you on the inside. Ask for forgiveness by your laugh. Amen. But they continued how? Steadfastly. In what? The apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread. Tonight we have some nice curry and roti. Take some. When you eat, you're fellowshipping with one another. You don't have none? You guys want all for yourself? These people are terrible. They said, Pastor, me and Kizia, we're going to fellowship by ourselves. Are you with me? But this is what mature believers do, or maturing believers do. We continue in the teaching we receive. We continue in fellowship. We do not downplay fellowship. We understand. Didn't you see that when you fellowship together, you fellowship with Jesus? Are you with me? Amen. All right. That's what they did. Amen? All right, we're going to wrap it up and we're going to pray right here. Let's all stand. Hallelujah.